The Last Bohemians LA. Unexpected stories from maverick women.
What's this, Linda?
A jukebox. Everybody's house has to have a jukebox.
That's Linda Ramone, and her house up in the valley in Los Angeles is a vibrant treasure trove of rock and roll memorabilia, vintage film posters, and counterculture collectibles. It's got themed areas like the Elvis room, the horror room, and the Disney bathroom, a huge tropical garden with hummingbirds, wind chimes, and lush plants. And there are paintings of her late husband, Johnny Ramone, guitarist in one of the greatest punk bands that ever was, everywhere. Since Johnny passed away in 2004, Linda has been president of the Johnny Ramone Army, an organization dedicated to preserving her husband's legacy, with an annual tribute event at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery. But she's also a fashion firebrand in her own right. She was there at the birth of punk in New York, and these days she's on front rows and even inspiring Gucci clothing lines while never forgetting her Gabba Gabba Hey roots. One of the things that people often say about this podcast is that they love how they're immersed in our Bohemians' worlds. You can hear their pets mewling, the kettle whistling, the creak of the door as we enter their homes. And this is an episode where all of that atmosphere is so important and helps to really build an image of Linda's everyday life. For this episode of our new Las Bohemians LA series, supported by Audio-Technica, we used Audio-Technica's AT897 shotgun microphone to pick up the gorgeous sound of the Linda and Johnny Ramone Ranch. If you want to find out more about their range of quality mics, head to audio-technica.com or at audio-technica_EU on Instagram. So, it's 11 a.m. in the morning, and we turn up at this house that's painted all in purple. It's incredible. It looks like something from the Flintstones from the outside. And I'm just hoping that we can find Linda Ramone on the inside.
Whoa. It's like a little punk oasis. It feels so naughty. We've just kind of walked into her house. Linda? Hello? I half expected her to be on the inflatable in the middle of the pool. Oh, hi! There she is.
Hi! Welcome to the Johnny and Linda Ramone Ranch.
Wow.
Here we are. When we got here, we wanted a pool, even though when I first got here, me and Johnny, we didn't have a swim. Because New Yorkers don't know how to swim. I've lived here since 96, and I've never dove off that diving board.
I always knew I was going to live in L.A.
It's everything I love. So that's an original Disney doll. I got it in a Disney auction. And she dances. This is one of my favorite pieces. This Dee Dee Ramone. Drew it of Johnny.
I feel like this poster up here is pretty interesting. The Barbarella poster.
Barbarella, yes. We showed Barbarella at a Johnny Ramone tribute one year. It's amazing because, this is how I think. I think very Barbarella in the morning. I like getting dressed up. And that was me in Harper's Bazaar. They said this was the most colorful house they've ever been to. We were the only house that they never put any props around. Everything is exactly how it is. I do love the living room. It's like one of our favorite rooms. And I did pattern it after Nancy Sinatra, the photo when she has the orange coat on and the pink hat and the boots. So that's how we patterned the whole living room color scheme from Nancy. We'll walk this way. This is the kitchen, you know, very red and blue. I feel like this floor looks like a, you know, airport 70s. That's a painting of Johnny, and I was given that by Eddie Vedder, and this was a painting of Johnny that Rose McGowan gave me. So everyone always gives me like all this great stuff, you know, that it's good to have friends. Now, guess what, girls? It's cocktail time. Here we go.
What did a young Linda Ramone want to be when she grew up?
You know, that's a funny question.
I never really thought about it. And then one year I was like, oh, maybe an airline stewardess. I don't know why. It sounded like you travel around the world and I didn't really leave my bedroom. And back then I was too short. They weren't taking people under 5'4". So that, anyway, my friend Anna Sui told me that it's just a glorified waitress job. And I was like, okay, shut that down. I always just went out in my mind to have a good time. I didn't think, oh, what am I going to be when I grow up? Because I really didn't know. I guess one of the earliest things, which is why I liked fashion so much, is I loved Anne Margaret and Made in Paris. And she was a buyer for a store. And I'd always thought that maybe I could be a buyer. Something like that. I always thought maybe I'd do something in fashion. I grew up in Rosedale, Queens. It was Italian, Irish, mostly in the neighborhood. But my block consisted of my Aunt Mello across the street, my cousin behind me, like my whole family was all around. So no matter where I went, you could never do anything wrong because you always saw one of your family members. I was close with my brother because my brother was heavily into music. He was a couple of years older than me and he taught me a lot about music. So my father drove me and my girlfriend Heavenly. I changed my name to Starlight at that time. And he drove us in to see the New York Dolls, and he drove us in to see Slade. But my first concert I ever went to is I went with my brother, and we went to see Grand Funk Railroad. And I came home, and I thought, oh, I was like 12. I thought, I'm going to marry Mark Farner. Then like a couple of years later, I was like, oh, I think I like Cat Stevens. Maybe I'm going to marry Cat Stevens. And then, oh, maybe I'm going to marry David Cassidy.
So you always knew you were going to marry someone famous.
I don't know if it was famous or if they were a rock and roll person. Nobody used the word famous like that. It was just like somebody who I was interested in what field they were in. Like, I never thought about marrying someone who was like an accountant, you know, or a dentist or a doctor. Like, you grow up and people are like, oh, you should marry a doctor. And I'm thinking, I don't think so.
What was it about rock and roll that you found so exciting?
The look. Growing up, even starting with the Beatles. I guess my favorite two Beatles when I was a little girl were Paul and George. I loved the way they looked. They came out with the suit and the Beatle haircut. And, you know, I went to see Help and Hard Day's Nights in the movie theater with my, you know, my family. It was an exciting time for rock and roll, you know. I liked everybody from that. Dave Clark 5, I loved the Herman Hermits. I did the Freddie in my room. I was always into music. The first club I went to was Club 82, and I was 15 years old. It went down the steps, and the Dolls were playing. And the Dolls went on like 3 o'clock in the morning. Even though we were all so young, everybody was going out then, and people go, oh, didn't you get proofed? Nobody really proofed you in New York. L.A. was much more stricter with the proof. But in New York, no. Everybody went out. Everybody was young. Nobody ever asked for my ID ever. It just stopped one day, Glitter Rock. Glitter Rock's dead. There's a new place now, CBGB's. I may say that. I saw the Ramones, one of their earliest first shows. CBGB's, it was the beginning of punk there. So you'd walk in, dirty and smelly, and Hilly, Crystal, who owned it, his dog was there, and the dog would poop all over CBGB's. So you weren't really quite used to that. I wasn't. But it was very punk, and the bathrooms were all dirty. Like, everything was dirty, but you never thought about anything.
How did your mum and your dad take it when you came home dressed as a punk? The strict Catholic family.
You didn't think anything. I was always doing crazy stuff. I cut my hair, all my hair off, and dyed it red after Bowie. And my father went crazy with my mother. He said, how could you have her cut her hair off like that? She had beautiful hair. Because I always had long Italian curls hair. And I cut it all off and dyed it red. My father hated it. And then I had to go to Easter Sunday at my grandmother's house, and everybody was horrified. Even in high school, I never went along with everybody else. I just wanted to dress the way I wanted. I wanted to look the way I wanted. I never really went out of my way to look extra sexy to get a boyfriend or anything. I mean, I just looked how I looked.
You seem far too glam to have been a punk, Linda.
Well, I always mixed glam with punk. Like, the first time we went to London, the Ramones, I went to PX, and I loved the pirate look. And I went to Vivian Westwood. I bought the Seditionary pants. I never wore them. I still have mine. I didn't ever like pants. I always liked dresses. This is my walk-in closet. It's usually not thrown over, but you know what? I have kittens. Oh, you got to be careful. They're little. So this is like all my jewelry that I wear and my hats that I wear, my bags that I wear. I wear tiaras all the time. They just make you feel happy. But every time you wear one, someone always has to say, is it your birthday? Growing up, I loved Anne Margaret. I loved Anita Pallenberg. I loved Bridget Bardot. They were always my fashion inspiration. But fashion people, they're kind of snooty. If you dress differently, they pick on you and they insult you. They don't want anyone to be different. They want you to be a follower, not a leader. I never followed any trends.
What was the main difference between UK punk and US punk?
It's more political in England. There was no politics in America like that. You just had a band, you wanted to play, you wanted to get played on the radio. I mean, Sex Pistols, talking about the Queen. Like, we didn't talk about the president. Like, you know, and it was a different type of look. The safety pin that Malcolm basically stole from Richard Hell. That's what they say. But, you know, Malcolm and Vivian, it was like more of a fashion brand with people dressing up, which I love. But I think with other people, New York didn't have that fashion. New York had Ramones fashion. Jeans, leather jacket, sneakers, which to this day is jeans, leather jacket, and sneakers. It's great. I love The Clash, though. They might be the second best punk band of all time after the Ramones.
So what happened when you finished high school?
It was time to, like, think about colleges. I decided right away there was no way I was going to college. It made no sense to me. I moved to LA and then I met Joey.
And was it love at first sight?
With Joey, I already had known him from CBGB's and Max's. No, what happened with Joey and me is we fell in love in LA because we were out of New York and we were at the Tropicana. Here we were in LA talking about Slade and Iggy and all like great music. And I think Joey just fell in love with me when we started talking about Slade.
And were you each other's first loves?
I think, yes. Joey had other girlfriends because he was 8 years older than me. But no, definitely we're both first loves. That's why when people go, oh, you left Joey for Johnny, they hated each other. That's just not true. What happened was we were together for 3.5 years. Joey wanted to see what it was like going on his own, and Johnny Ramone fell in love with me. No one expected that. I mean, I don't think Johnny Ramone was ever in love either with anybody else. Somehow, being on the road together, you start liking little things about the other person, you know? And then Johnny fell in love with me, and me and Joey felt like it was we could break up and we could still be friends. And the most important thing was the band. And not to break up the band. Because you always heard about Anita and Keith and Brian, but Brian Jones wasn't in the Rolling Stones anymore. So you had to like work your way around that. And the three of us always did. Joey and Johnny, did they have differences? Hello, what singer and guitar player? From Keith to Mick to The Who to Led Zeppelin. I mean, it's well-known fact. Guitar players and singers don't always get along.
What was that like? Being in a love triangle, not only just a love triangle, but with two band members.
I never thought about it. I didn't even realize I was in a love triangle until someone told me one day, 30 years later. I was shocked at first to hear about the love. I knew kind of, yeah, maybe, but we weren't around a lot of people, the Ramones. They did a lot of touring on their own. We were very sheltered until later on, like when the Ramones, and that's much later on, 20 years later, basically, and you start touring with other bands and people like, oh, you went out with Joey? What was that like? And, you know, but Johnny and Joey stayed in the band from the beginning to the end.
What was their relationship like after that when you started going out with Johnny?
Well, Johnny didn't want me to talk to Joey anymore. So that was kind of a bummer for Joey. Like at one point, Joey got a girlfriend right after me and he was like, oh, you could come in the van now. And I thought that was too weird because me and Joey, because we were first loves, it's kind of like, you just can't separate it too much. So I'd go to shows, I'd travel, but I wouldn't travel in the van anymore. That was for the best. Though I did talk to Joey. Johnny really never knew how much we talked or spoke, but at the end of the day, it wouldn't have mattered because the most important thing was to keep the band together.
Did you ever resent that?
No. It was our livelihood, and Joey didn't want to be without Johnny, and Johnny didn't want to be without Joey. There was no replacing Joey, and there was no replacing Johnny. Me and Johnny. Well, Johnny fell in love with me, and I think what happened with Johnny was I fell in love because he was in charge. And with Joey, my relationship was so different. I was in charge. So I held all the money. I did all the business. Joey didn't want to be bothered. Joey was just very interested in just writing songs. But Johnny was a leader, and he was a leader of the band. Johnny was in control of everybody. Everybody knows that. It was Johnny's band. He ran it. And no one really cared because no one else wanted the job. But Johnny. Johnny loved it. When he was a kid, he went to military school because he wanted to go to military school. He wanted to be a sergeant.
That's quite a shift. Did you enjoy being controlled?
Yes. I liked both, you know, and even now I'm like, whatever I'm dealt, I deal with. Like with Joey, I was in charge because Joey didn't want to be, and I was more than capable of being in charge, you know, and I liked that. I was a teenager, and I guess I was, you know, as I've been told, very opinionated. So that was fine. But then when I went out with Johnny, Johnny loved being in control, and I didn't mind that either. There'd be some days I'd wake up and I'd be like, boy, Johnny could think for everybody. He just loved being in charge. And then after he wasn't in charge of the Ramones, I go, it's kind of sad. All you're in charge of is me now. He goes, that's enough.
But you didn't mind when he stopped you from being friends with Joey, and did he stop you from being friends with other people?
Yeah. No. I mean, it's just part of the territory. Like when you go out with someone who likes being a leader, you've got to take it into consideration that that's how that person, you know, is. You know, and if it bothers you, then you should leave. Like, I don't like when women go, I don't like him. He's so possessive and I got to get away. Well, then you get away. You have a choice of who you're with.
It can get complicated, though. When you said possessiveness, the first thing that sprung to my mind was Phil Spector.
Right. Well, that's another whole story. Don't forget, when I was dating Joey, we did End of the Century. I was there every day with Joey, with Phil. Phil was crazy, but amazing. You know, he kissed my hand every night when we'd go to leave.
How did you feel about that?
Phil was different then. He was Phil Spector. He was, you know, he did the Ronettes. He did every, you know, Ronnie Spector's one of my favorite singers. He was crazy, but not any crazier than anyone else at that time, you know. Did I ever think he would do what he did? No. But, you know, Phil was a very interesting guy. You know, going to his house, you'd stay there and you'd be up all night long. He wouldn't let anyone leave. He said Joey was the male version of Ronnie Spector. And when we got to the house, he was singing love songs to Joey. So we were all excited at first, you know. And then after the album, I mean, Joey loved the album. You know, Baby, I Love You on the Spector album, none of the Ramones are on that song. It's a Joey solo song. So when the Ramones went to do Top of the Pops, I mean, it wasn't great. You had to have violins with you, and that was not very punk. And Johnny was not very happy at that time. That was really a Joey solo song. But Phil was amazing back then, you know. Unfortunately, it definitely took a bad turn. Unfortunately, he ruined his legacy.
Have you seen that happen quite a lot?
People ruining their legacies? Now more than ever. Well, now what happens is people bring up things that you did 20 years ago. I find that crazy because what was okay 20 years ago may not be okay now. But you can't go after people who did what they did back then. That's not right. But there's no stopping that. A lot of stuff now is more you're guilty. Before, you were innocent, and then you had to be proved guilty. Now you're already guilty.
How do you feel when people write those articles that say you're the person that got in between the Ramones?
I ignore it now. It's a joke. Really? Well, how? They stayed together to the end. I never said my side of the story because I always felt like I never had to. I always felt like it was kind of really my private business. And it's just very funny because they always want to blame the woman. And that's just how it goes. I've had a lot of trouble being a widow. I've been bullied. I've been verbally abused on social media. And it gives you a really weird feeling because they would have never done that to a man. And they're allowed to get away with it, a woman. It's much more negative, the world right now, than when I grew up. The things people say about people on social media, now it's like they pull you apart. They say the most horrible, horrifying things about you, and you don't know what to do.
What do you think it would have been like if there was social media in the 1970s?
We wouldn't have had punk, and we wouldn't have been able to enjoy it the way we did. That's for sure. Because, you know what, there was a lot of underage people around. I mean, you know, it was just part of the scene. Crazy stuff happened. And now crazy stuff happens, but they try to hush some things, but other things aren't hushed. It's weird. It's pick and choose. So it's a little bit different. And there's no more rock and roll, so go figure that. Okay, and this is the rock and roll room. This has all sorts of whatever in it, from the Dolls to the Plasmatics to the Ramones to the Sex Pistols. There's me and Johnny, his 50th birthday. That came from the Rock Walk when they did their hands in the Rock Walk. That's our Disney bathroom. And this way is the Elvis room. This me and Johnny bought in Florida. It's a autographed set list.
Lisa Marie is your friend, Lisa Marie Presley. Yes. What does she think of your Elvis room?
She likes it. At first, you'd think, oh, but everybody's an Elvis fan. She's so used to it. LMP don't think anything of it. She liked it.
It sounds like you're unafraid of being a fan. Hearing you enthuse about music and seeing your house, you're surrounded by everything that you love.
I don't feel like I live in the past. I feel like I live in my own world. In my own world. It doesn't matter about the past or the future. My own world is what I put around me, but I like what I like. So we were planning to move as soon as the band retired and the last show was out here. And we just retired in LA. On our way here, Johnny goes, I just want to let you know, nobody's going to want to talk to us. I'm not going to be in the band anymore. You can't get upset about things like that. And I go, nobody talks to us anyway. Like in New York, nobody, who are you friends with? Not even friends with anybody. We get out to LA, everybody wants to be Johnny Ramone's friend. Johnny's finally relaxed. He has his dollar amount. We could buy a house. I live in such a great surrounding. Like it's hard to wake up, and I don't want to be one of those, but it is hard to wake up in LA and have a bad day when the sun is shining and you have a pool that you could have cocktails by. I'm sorry, that's just a good life. All of a sudden you could wake up and have something bad, you know, an illness, and then your life is over. I mean, look at the Ramones. Johnny died at 55. He's never taken drugs. He's never drank. He was healthy. He got prostate cancer at 50. Joey died at 49. Tommy died. Dee Dee died. Like, the Ramones died.
Where were you when Johnny passed away?
Here. Johnny died right on the couch. That's his ashes on the mantle. So when I pass away, we both get buried at Hollywood Forever where the statue is.
Are you going to have a statue next to him?
Yeah. Not as big, because Johnny's has to be bigger. He's the legend.
What was life like after Johnny? What was dating like?
I had a nervous breakdown the first year because everyone sued me. Wasn't expecting that, but as I say, the widow, if I can do anything, I would love to protect future widows and girlfriends and kids from the business. You have to come forward and protect yourself. These last couple of years, I've had someone who protects me. All those other years, I wasn't protected. And you think you hire people to protect you, but they're all after the money. And that was a big rude awakening to me, because you think they're going to protect you, and they don't. And then you think you're the crazy person.
So when he died, did you really find out who your friends were?
Oh, yes, for sure. Right away, too. Within a week. See, I knew what was going to happen because Johnny kept saying, when I die, I got to do whatever I wanted the whole time. But people are going to go after you to get me back. And I go, oh, don't say that. Like, you know, the last thing you do, I'm having a breakdown. My husband's dying right in front of me. The love of my life, our whole life together. We move out here. We think we're going to have the best time ever. And now he's sick and he's dying. And I was like, don't say that. And he goes, it's true. I've always protected you. See where people go where there's possessiveness, but you also are very protective. And Johnny was very protective over me. I never had to worry about anything or anyone. And he said, though, the people who want to get me back are going to get me back through you.
Did you have to toughen up quite quickly?
The moment he died, it started so fast because I was meditating a little. And then I was like, forget this meditating. It's making me a marshmallow. I can't. They'll take my business. They'll take Johnny's legacy. They'll ruin the Ramones. I can't. So I woke up on a different side of the bed right away. I met JD a year later, and that was it. I met one person, and we've been together now 17 years. And when I met JD, obviously he's younger, so people were like, oh, that's never going to work out. Johnny passed away. I was 42. How are you a widow at 42? It's like the weirdest thing ever. Anyway, I mean, as you see, JD is very nice looking. He was 21. He's very talented. He paints gorgeous. He sings, does music. When JD came along, everybody was like, no, no, no. And I was like, yes, yes, yes. And here we are. He listens to the same music I listen to. Like, I always find it fascinating that people are with other people and you don't like the same music. I couldn't be. We collect vinyl. We play vinyl all day long. There's never one record that I go, why did you put that on? Which is amazing. If I didn't have that, I don't know. I'd be crazy. I wouldn't be able to survive. You have to have things in common. Like, I've always had things in common with everybody, you know, from Joey to Johnny to JD, you know.
The three J's.
6'6", 6'6", 6'4", all dark hair.
You have a type.
You know what? When someone says, do you have a type? I guess I really do. I'm drawn to interesting people. I mean, what's worse than boring? Nothing. Who wants to be boring? Nobody.
Do you ever wish sometimes that you didn't have to deal with the legacy?
Johnny's most important thing to him when he was dying was, I'd rather be here to take care of my own legacy. But if I had to pick one person, I'd pick you. Always annoyed me that you were a Ramones fan, but now I'm happy.
Why did it annoy him?
Because he's Johnny Ramone and I'm Linda Ramone and he doesn't want me to be a Ramones fan. But then at the end of the day, when we meet other people's wives who weren't a fan of their band, Johnny'd be like, oh, they're so disrespectful to their husband. And I'd be like, that's because they don't like the band. Because he didn't really want Ramone stuff all around the house. So when Johnny was sick, he goes, oh, I could see the house now. It's going to be all full of Ramones. And I was like, yep. But of course, when you're dying and your legacy is going to be left to your wife, you should hope they're a fan. Otherwise, they do a crappy job for your legacy.
Do you ever get sick of talking about the Ramones?
Never.
Why not?
My favorite band of all time. Joey Ramone's my favorite singer. Johnny Ramone's my favorite guitar player. My second favorite guitar player, though, is Johnny Thunders. My third is Jeff Beck. My fourth is Jimi Hendrix. I guess I love rock and roll.
What brings you the most joy?
Having fun. And just waking up and having a good attitude. Like, things can get you down and things can depress you. But if you let people get to you, they've won. And that's what I learned. Got to wake up and have fun because that is the biggest revenge of all to people who don't like you, that you actually are happy. And when you're a woman, especially, they don't want to see women do well. I know that's crazy after all this time, but they don't, especially in a man's business. And that's a man's business, rock and roll. When I was growing up, all my girlfriends loved rock and roll. I don't know what happened to rock and roll. I guess people don't like rock and roll anymore. I grew up, there were so many different walks of life. Nobody looked at anybody differently. I accepted everybody. I was just so happy to get out of my bedroom and go into the city. I wasn't going to look at someone and go, oh, they look weird. I grew up all around everybody like looking like Bowie. It was amazing. All the guys looked like girls. Great. everybody watches what everybody says and takes it to the extreme. It's like you can't joke around anymore. I mean, look at comedians have a hard time. Now, it used to be a lot more fun. You really want to have a nice time. Life's too short.
The Last Bohemians LA is supported by the amazing team over at Audio Technica. For more about their range of audio gear, check out audio-technica.com or at audiotechnica_EU on Instagram. This episode was presented and exec produced by me, Kate Hutchinson, recorded by Holly Fisher and edited by Georgie Rogers, with photography by Lisa Jelliff. A huge thank you to Nancy Sinatra's team for introducing us to Linda, and also for inspiring Linda's incredible orange and pink living room. If you want to see more behind-the-scenes photography, check out our Instagram at The Last Bohemians Pod and sign up to our Patreon page. Go on, do it. There's loads of great stuff on there. Patreon.com/TheLastBohemians.